From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made over just about 1 year ago now, May 2013, on the streets of downtown Rochester. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 filmed a series of scenes for the movie, with Spider-Man involved in a car chase and inevitably some police car pileups. Rochester took the place of New York City, and now we've got the chance to see how it turned out. The movie's in theaters, with Andrew Garfield starring as Spider-Man, Jamie Foxx leading a series of villains. Well, later this hour, we'll explore whether it's worth trying to bring more Hollywood productions to Rochester. First, we want to know if the film is any good. In studio, we welcome Jack Garner, the longtime critic for the Democrat and Chronicle, and author of From My Seat on the Aisle, Movies and Memories. Jack, nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Evan. Thanks.
Mike DiGiorgio is here, a film critic and also executive producer of 13 WHAM News This Morning. Mike, nice to see you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
And Rachel Barnhart is here. She's an anchor reporter with WROC-TV. Hasn't seen the film and won't be weighing in until later this hour, right, Rachel?
That is correct.
Rachel has been reporting on whether the production meets some of the promises when it comes to benefit to communities. We're going to get into that later, but let's have a little fun to start. And if you want to join the conversation as well, if you've seen the movie, what you thought of it, you can join the conversation. It's toll free, 844. What is the number? It's 844-295-TALK. It's still relatively new to me. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255. Rochester, you can still call 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Jack Garner. You're not the biggest comic book movie fan.
No, a little caveat. Over the years, I mean, I've enjoyed some. I tend to favor, quite frankly, the DNC guys. Like, I love, you know, Batman, and because he has no special skills. He's just who he is.
Yeah.
And I've always been, you know, a sucker for the Superman stuff, especially the Chris Reeve ones. Because their Superman films, way ahead of the curve on special effects, were the first film that said Superman can fly. And I still love that scene where he, you know, puts Margot Kidder in his arms and flies around Manhattan. I mean, that's beautiful romantic stuff. So those films I liked a lot, and I like some of the Batmans. This one, I was not a huge Spider-Man fan generally, but they're fun. The whole thing is they got to have some action, and this has tons of action. In terms of character development, my problem with most comic book things, films, and even video game films, is that they are by very nature sort of one-dimensional. You know, like the girl in Roger Rabbit says, I'm not sexy, I'm just drawn that way. You know? So they're just drawn to be who they are. And I know Mike will probably disagree, because I know he is a big, big fan of that whole world. And on Facebook, he put out a picture of his attic so full of stuff that he can't even turn around in it. It's amazing. But let me just back up and say about this movie that I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. I love seeing Rochester. People that aren't in Rochester or don't know Rochester won't know it,
right?
Because it's supposed to be New York. But those of us, you can see that bridge that goes from the convention center to the hotel. You can see the First Federal Plaza building. You can see, you know, there's some things that you readily identify, and they didn't cover them up so much that you don't see them. So that was fun to see. The action stuff is really well done. The villainy is good. I would have liked a little bit more of Paul Giamatti just because he's a great actor, but I didn't even know who he was until I went home and looked it up, because his makeup is – he's the Russian thug, and he's – I don't know what his real name is. What's his name?
It's Sergey, and I'm trying to think of the last name now. The Rhino.
He goes by the Rhino.
Does
he go by the Rhino in the movie, or is it not?
They work their way to it.
Okay.
But they don't even talk about him much, because he's only in it for – he has a little three-minute showdown at the end, and he has a little truck blowing up thing at the beginning.
Well, that's sort of the complaint I have, Mike, is that, as Jack mentions here, you've got Paul Giamatti as the Rhino. You've got Jamie Foxx as Electro.
Electro.
You've got the Green Goblin. You got sort of everybody. Well, is there a central thread here in this film?
You know what? Part of my problem with this movie, and I'll just say I liked it, I didn't love it. When it was over, what was the central plot there? The love story is what it's all about. A superhero movie is only as good as its villains.
Right.
And I didn't think much of Jamie Foxx's Electro. They wasted him. They didn't do much at all with Rhino. And what was Electro's plot? What was at stake here, other than just this was a guy who, in stereotypical superhero movie, gets superpowers in an accident and throws a temper tantrum. And Spider-Man has to stop him. That was kind of it.
And the romance was too much. I mean, there is a love story, and it plays out that way. And if you're a comic book fan, I'm not sure love stories are what you're necessarily looking for.
Well, let's listen
unless
to
it's Archie and Jughead. Or
let's
something.
Listen to a clip. John, our engineer. This is our second clip. It's clip number two. This is a clip of Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man with Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy. Is that who it is? I'm used to Mary Jane from these movies, and I haven't seen this one. This is them. They're in a little bit of trouble, and they are hiding. Let's listen to the interaction here that does involve a kiss. Let's listen.
Who's that guy?
There was an accident in the genomics lab, and they're covering it up.
That's how it's going.
This is the maintenance closet. This is the most cliched hiding place you could have chosen. This is the stupidest hiding place.
Take us to the Bahamas of hiding places.
Listen.
You just kissed me.
All right. How'd you like it?
I felt a little bit rushed.
I know. This is the plan. You get to the elevator. I'm going to distract him, okay?
All right, so you've got this interaction where it's obviously flirtatious, but Jack, you're saying the romance just didn't work for you.
Well, it just went on too long. It was, you know, I get a little tired in almost any film when the romance is in, out. Sounds different than I want it to sound.
It's a comic book movie, Jack.
That's right.
We're going to have to re-edit for the rebroadcast,
I'm sorry about that.
My God.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
But anyway, okay. but it's working, not working. And you get a little tired of it. Come on, resolve this darn thing. And so that bothered me a little bit. The kiss was cute, but it was no hanging kiss like the classic one in Spider-Man.
That's iconic. We're not that far removed, really, from the first Spider-Man movies, Tobey Maguire,
Kirsten Dunst.
Right.
Was it 10 years or so, Mike? What is it?
12 at the most?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like Batman. It's like the superhero of the week club. I mean, they just keep piling them on.
Well, Mike, and as a real comic book fan in the room, is there something cheap about... Are they pushing it too much too fast with a series like Spider-Man?
Yes. There was no need to reboot Spider-Man already. It has not been that long. And Spider-Man as a character, it's been around since 1963. There's a very rich history to this character. I would like to have seen them, even if Tobey Maguire wasn't going to play the part anymore, get somebody new in the part and continue with what they were doing rather than restart everything again.
Yeah, have an arc that keeps going.
Because what we had in this movie was more of the same. Working with his Aunt May and home life. Awkward thing with a girlfriend, odd relationship with his best friend, and like I said, the supervillain that throws the tantrum. We've seen all that before. I would much rather they just keep carrying a story arc through some movies. X-Men movies started about the same time as the Spider-Man movies. This one that's coming out, X-Men Days of Future Past, looks like they're going new places with it, with the same characters. I would much rather they do something like that.
All right, so let's listen to the other scene that we have, the other clip from Amazing Spider-Man 2. This is Peter Parker, and Jack and Mike will have to explain. They're tossing rocks on the pond, and they're talking. It's Peter talking to his friend. Who's his friend, Mike?
Harry Osborn.
Harry Osborn of Oscorp. Harry becomes the Green Goblin? He does?
Yeah.
Okay. Am I giving something away there?
Well, if you saw the other three movies, like I said, more of the same.
All right,
and
so
I think
you know where they're going.
And I think the trailer maybe throws it out.
Yeah, and so you've got these friends, and I don't know if it's interesting, or at least you have this dynamic where they have somewhat similar wounds from their past, and that's what they're discussing. Of course, Peter has gone to use powers for good. Harry ends up going for bad. But here's their conversation here. We'll listen to this.
You know, when my father sent me away, I tried to forget everything about this place. I guess that kind of included you.
You ain't gotta explain anything to me, man. You both got dumped.
You ever figure out why your parents bailed?
My dad left a briefcase. That's all I got, briefcase full of junk. Whatever, I don't know, I try not to think about it.
How's that working out for you?
Perfectly.
My problem... I have a couple of questions. First of all, the guy who plays Harry, is he an actor of some note? I don't even know.
I remember him from the Metallica movie. He was an extra in that.
He looks like he's 12.
Yeah.
He makes Andrew Garfield look like an old man. I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, I just don't think he's a worthy opponent because he seems so darn young.
It was James Franco in the first
movie. That would make a lot more sense.
10 years ago.
The point of the scene, by the way, that you can't tell by hearing it, you can only see by seeing it, is that Spider-Man, Peter Parker, throws those stones like all the way across whatever river it is, the East River or Harlem. I mean, they're really skipping. And at one point he says something to him, boy, that's a hell of an arm you got, which, of course, is... you know, he's acting like he doesn't know that he's Spider-Man. You know, that's kind of the premise.
Does he know? Does Harry know? No. Harry does not know.
Okay. No, not at that point.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to care, and you're giving me sort of interesting things, but I'm trying to I'm saying that as the critic's perspective, what did you care most about in this film, Mike?
Did I care? You know what? The Rochester scene, because we had a stake in it.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to see the Rochester scene at the beginning. Me, because I'm a comic book fan and I follow the history and I like these movies and I like to see where they go with them, wanted to see where they were going with it. I wanted the action. The opening chase scene is maybe the best. Then there's a long gap, and then the semi-climactic scene is also very good for some action. That's the stuff I cared about.
I also like some of the, as an old school guy, I like some of the older actors who show up in really nice cameos, like Chris Cooper, one of my favorite actors, has a small role, and he's really good. He's Harry's father. And I like him, and Paul Giamatti, once I figured out who he was, which was later, in retrospect, I said, hey, he was pretty good. And Sally Field even has a few dramatic moments as the mom. So the older, you know, old school actors I enjoyed a lot.
The aunt, right? Sally's the aunt?
Aunt May.
Aunt. That's right. Thank you for correcting me on that.
It's Jack Garner and Mike DiGiorgio in studio talking about the new Spider-Man film that had some scenes shot in Rochester. Critics don't love it. They found it sort of fun to watch without a whole lot of plot development, at least our critics here in studio. But we'd love to hear from you if you want to join the conversation.
The other thing is special, as a special effects fan, I mean, cut you off. You're about to give a number, weren't you, or something? Or no?
Oh, I can give a number. Sure. It's 263-WXXI, 263-9994, or it's toll-free, Jack. It's 844.
I don't have to pen. No.
Actually, we pay.
Oh, you
pay. 844-295-TALK.
But anyway, as a guy who's also watched the development of special effects, there weren't any when I was a kid, except maybe when they matte painting or something.
Right.
But today, I think the easiest and sort of quickest and not very exciting special effect you can do is electro stuff. Lightning,
yes.
Lightning bolts and shocks of things. Somebody puts their hand out and zzz, all these things come out. And that's what you get with this Electro character. There was nothing there that did much for me other than the really weird, ugly blue skin that he has.
But Spider-Man flying through the air, they make it now very effortless. The leaping and the webbing.
Does it look real, though, or does it look computer-generated?
I think it looked pretty real. There was not a moment where I thought,
And 3D. 3D is cool. I mean, he tumbles right out at you and all that stuff, so that's kind of cool.
In a second, I'm going to ask Jack to share a Paul Giamatti story because Jack always has great stories with some of these actors. But I do want to also invite the conversation on Twitter. You can follow us at Evan Dawson or on our Facebook pages, a public Facebook page, or WXXI News as well there. I believe we also have our first caller that we can get to, and that is Craig. Craig in the city. Thanks for calling, Craig. Go ahead.
Sure. I actually saw the movie or part of the movie this weekend. I walked out after about 15 minutes.
You walked out after 15 minutes?
Well, you wanted to see the Rochester stuff, obviously.
I wanted to see the Rochester scenes because I had gone down to see them being filmed.
Craig, what you missed, and I may be wrong, Rochester comes back.
It's much harder to tell.
There's a full circle thing at the end, but you would have seen something.
59th and Broadway.
But let's let Craig tell us why after 15 minutes. Was that enough for you?
Because I am a comic book fan. I loved the first couple of Tobey Maguire movies, and I found the tone of this movie so obnoxious in that first scene there where he captures the Russian criminal and he uses his webbing, among other things, to pull his pants down. I mean, it was so ridiculous to me that I was almost offended by the movie. I just thought it was a bad portrayal of what is a classic comic book character, which Tobey Maguire nailed. He was so fantastic, and the story was fantastic. I found this one just surfacey and a very poor tone.
All right, so here's Craig's review. Mike DiGiorgio.
I'm going to defend the pants pulling down thing.
not necessarily.
Whatever gets you through the night.
I was going to say, after what Jack said earlier, you may defend whatever you like when it comes to pants pulling down. Jack's already taken it.
Craig would know this. Part of the Spider-Man mythology is it's this nerdy kid, and he gets this alter ego, and he's masked, and he gets to be a wise guy. When he's Spider-Man, he's very flippant, and he's always throwing out jokes, and he's being the wise guy he never gets to be as Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. So seeing Spider-Man mock the criminal a little bit and pull his pants down, I don't think is that out of character.
And you think that's consistent with not just previous films, the comic books?
Yeah, absolutely.
And also I would say one should not necessarily blame Andrew Garfield versus Tobey Maguire, because that's a director and writer's choice. You know, Andrew Garfield didn't say, I'm going to pull his pants down. you know, the it was directed to pull his pants down.
But they, go ahead, Mike.
They have changed Peter Parker for these movies, though, Andrew Garfield. Maybe in the more digital age here, science geeks are a little cooler. He's not quite the nerd Tobey Maguire was, mm-hmm. who takes a lot of abuse. Instead, he's a little cooler. He's a skateboard kid. He's got some hip sayings and things.
Well, to defend Craig a little bit, the critics haven't loved this one, and I'm not saying Mike and Jack do, certainly not, but it's probably been sort of the most meh, kind of a dud of a reaction from a lot of critics who aren't really moved by this film, Amazing Spider-Man 2. Maybe we're all wrong, though. Join the conversation, 263-WXXI, 263-9994, toll-free 844-295-TALK. Jack Garner has an interesting Paul Giamatti story that I'd love to hear.
Yes, I was down Monday night in New York City for the George Eastman House Reach Out Light and Motion of Gala, where they gave an award, among other things, to Alexander Payne, who directed The Descendants, and he also with Bob Forrester and George Clooney, and he made recently Nebraska, and he famously made Sideways with Paul Giamatti. So they had Paul come in to give the award to Payne. And I got to chat with him. It was a very informal, friendly sort of a place where they weren't like backstage somewhere. You could like hang out. So I talked to Paul and I said, gee, Paul, if an actor's goal is to disappear into a role, you really succeeded in Spider-Man 2 because I didn't recognize you and had to go back home afterwards and Google to find out who the heck you were. And he said, thank heavens. And I think he's in some ways reflecting the reviews that had started to come in. But he also said, but on the other hand, he said, and of course, part of that might be I was only in it for a minute, and you'd miss me. You know, it was kind of funny. On one hand, he was complaining maybe that he was kind of in the movie, and I told him, I said, in a name drop here for Vifa, maybe allowed to. I said, Michael Caine told me once that you do one for them, you do one for me. Yeah. You do one for them, you do one for me. This is the one for them, you know. And he works enough in independence that I'm sure that's the case.
And frankly, Jack, you've made that same point about Philip Seymour Hoffman's career that occasionally he'd do one for them.
Right. He did Mission Impossible 3. Yeah. You still do the best you can do. I mean, Mission Impossible 3, he's still probably the greatest villain in that entire series. I mean, he was unbelievable. And but still, you know, it's they're great actors, but they also need to put bread on the table, and they want to be able to afford their little off-theater play companies that they work with and stuff. So, Paul, but the other thing is, on the other hand, Paul kind of wishes he was in the movie more. I got a feeling of that.
Yeah. And on the other hand, without giving away the end of the movie, he's going to do another one for them. They lay the seeds where I can totally see him coming back should they do an Amazing Spider-Man 3.
So Paul Giamatti, you can expect him at least in the next one. Hard to steal a movie if you're barely in it. Right. Let's get back to the phones. Nick in Rochester. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was curious because I was I've seen that, you know, this was when it came out on Friday, was on the front page of the DNC, and I'm wondering whether it's like if it's an actual big deal for the city as a whole that we're in part of the movie, or whether it's just something that's kind of neat, and I don't know. I just can't seem to discern the actual meaning behind all of it.
Well, I think you're going to find out later the economic value and all that sort of stuff. Because Rachel's over here with bated breath. I guess she's ready to go to work on that. But in terms of as a viewer, I would say two things. One, if you're from Rochester or have been at some point in your life in Rochester and know Rochester, you'll get a kick out of seeing Rochester because you can tell it. They didn't disguise it so much that it's like, because I had heard they were going to turn it into downtown New York, or like Chinatown was mentioned at one point. Yeah. None of that. It's what it is. You can see the First Federal Building. You can see that bridge. You can see different things. And so that's cool. And you can see people. There were people at this one screening. I went to this advanced screening that were invited because the film office had arranged for them to be extras and stuff. And some people would recognize that they're the ones who pointed up to the sky. Look who's coming. That kind of thing. So that's cool. But if you are from Podunk and don't know from Rochester, you won't know it's Rochester. You're not supposed to know it's Rochester. You're thinking it's New York. And if you do stay to the end of the credits, which is a real arduous thing to do because super special effects movies have real long credits, if you stay, you will see the thank you to the city of Rochester.
I do want to talk about the credits, actually.
Go ahead, Mike.
Alert the media.
Fans of the Marvel movies, and this is another place where I'm disappointed with this movie, fans of the Marvel Comics movies know you stay through the credits because they drop in a little hint about what's to come in the next movie, or in the case of like the Avengers movies, which are all intertwined, what could be happening in the next one of those. This one, Marvel fans, stay. You might see something cool, but I think you'll be disappointed by it. It drops a hint not about what's next for Spider-Man, but about something else. And it felt much more like a commercial than it did a neat little thread, a neat little tease for the rest of us.
Are you not able to give away more than that, I take it?
I hate to spoil it too
all
much.
Right, that's okay. Go ahead.
By the way, of course, Stan Lee's in the movie. I mean, he's in all their movies.
Stan Lee is in the movie.
Yes.
He's in all.
The creator of Spider-Man.
Yeah. Every one of his creations, he's had a cameo
now,
in one of the films.
Don't go to the John or bend down to pick up your popcorn because it's that quick, but I'm just saying he is in it.
But that sounds like the whole film. I mean, you got Paul Giamatti, barely. You had Shailene Woodley, who got cut from the whole movie
right.
as Mary Jane, so she's not in it at all. And you've got, what is Jamie Foxx? You mentioned he's Electro, but I mean, is he or the Green Goblin the central villain in this one, Mike?
I think both.
Harry Osborn and Electro maybe are the primary things.
Right.
We don't see the Green Goblin for a bit.
And we also see Electro before he's Electro. He's this sort of nerdy kid that works for the power company, but he turns into Electro when
he
gets zapped
by
a million different things.
Why does he hate Spider-Man in the city? I mean,
he's a fan of Spider-Man, and then he kind of turns on him because of what happened to him with the industrial accident that happens in all these movies. It's a waste of Jamie Foxx, I think. You've got this dynamic right. Oscar winner playing first a nerd, but not all that funny of one or all that clever of one, just kind of a sad sack with some okay lines. Then he becomes Electro, and it's all special effects, and honestly, anybody could have played it.
It's just a Deglo thing. It could be anybody.
A Deglo thing. Well, and frankly, what Mike's talking about there with Jamie Foxx, you talk about a guy with obviously dynamic acting chops. I think everybody agrees on that. But Jack's made the point that so often in these films, it's so hard to have character development.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any superhero or comic book movies that stand out to you and you say, there's real development there? What do you think, Mike?
The latest Batman ones, for sure, the whole Dark Knight trilogy,
mm-hmm.
which did have a flow between all three movies. We mm-hmm. we saw that character develop and reach an end, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
I hear Iron Man.
Iron Man a bit.
Some of that's the value of an editor. Robert Downey Jr., I mean, of an actor. Robert Downey Jr. just empowers those movies, and the fact that he's in them just makes them fascinating to watch because he conveys something.
Yeah, I think so. From Iron Man to the Avengers, I was not a fan of Iron Man 2 or 3, but I thought the character did a nice little arc between Iron Man and then his appearance in the Avengers. Yeah.
So Jack, is there an iconic superhero or comic book movie that stands out to you above all others?
I agree with Mike about the Batman series, especially the most recent one, but almost all the Batmans in varying degrees I found really interesting. I find that character fascinating. First of all, it's dark. It's the film noir comic book hero.
Yeah.
So I like that about it. I have great sentimental attachment to the original Chris Reeve Superman. They aren't the original, but the original for my generation, Christopher Reeve movies. And I thought they were really humorous. He was very good. I mean, we look back on it now, and his version, Clark Kent. Kent Clark. Man with two good first names.
His other secret identity.
But Clark Kent and Superman, those two identities were just so sharply defined. And Margot Kidder was great. But we were talking about this the other day, and when the question then came up, where the heck is Margot Kidder? She fell off the face of the earth.
She's on the convention circuit.
Oh, that's what it is.
I've got an autograph from her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, but I did love those films, especially the first and to a lesser degree the second one. Of the Superman. And then I do like the Dark Knight.
Well, let me close the critical portion of this conversation with a question that I think our two critics in the room, Jack Garner and Mike DeGiorgio, will answer a little differently. And that is, do you approach a film like this with different expectations? You can't go into every film thinking it's Casablanca, right? And so do you go in saying, if I'm entertained, it's good enough, Jack, or do you have an expectation of something different? And, Mike, I'm going to ask that question to you in a different way in just a second. I want to hear Jack answer that.
I think that, no, I know exactly what you're saying, and I do try to tone my expectations to what I'm going to see.
Sure.
And I've always said that a good action movie can be as great as a great drama or something else. It has to be a roller coaster ride that has new turns, new twists, new scoops, new ups and downs. And when that happens, you can be just as excited. I mean, I would say one of my top maybe 10 or at least 20 movies of all time is a pure action flick, which is Raiders of the Lost Ark. That movie positively levitated me. And at my size, that ain't easy. So, that movie was just so great in so many ways. And so you can have a pure, and that's almost a comic book hero kind of movie.
Absolutely.
In a lot of ways, But it works in so many great levels and in terms of, honoring the past and and just have great, you know, adventure and fun and spooky stuff and great John Williams music pulling you along, all that stuff. So you can have a great action flick, and I want to love every movie I see. I don't, but I wanna. And sometimes I get lucky and I do, but I'm not going in there expecting, you know, some really heavy Shakespearean drama. All I want is some good action and something that doesn't get in the way.
And Mike DiGiorgio, that question for you gets reframed because you are the comic book fan. So your expectation may be different than Jack. Mm-hmm. You're not only a film critic, but you have a history reading, et cetera, here. So how do you approach it from your background, a movie like this?
I want what Jack is looking for, and I'll say most recently Captain America the Winter Soldier has that. It was actually a very good action movie, spy movie. I want it to be true to the original material, take it in some new places, because you don't just want, as Amazing Spider-Man 2 was, just a reenactment of what you've read, but make it come to life for me. The Avengers did that, for instance. When I was very nervous it wouldn't work, but when you see those six superheroes come together, they made it work. They took a comic book landscape and brought it three-dimensional, and it was fantastic.
Some of that's casting, too. The casting was great.
Absolutely. The interplay. Captain America and Iron Man had their own relationship. Thor and Iron Man had their own relationship. Hawkeye and Black Widow had their own thing. They put together a team, and that was fantastic.
Well, I think it sounds like there's at least some agreement here that fun movie, not going to change your life, cool to see Rochester, a little bit of a disappointment. Mike, Jack, fair enough? Summation.
Exactly.
Good. I'll buy it.
All right. Well, we'll gladly have you back with the next Spider-Man movie because I'm sure it's in development, and very interesting to see what they do next with Paul Giamatti and some others, see if Shailene Woodley's in the next one without giving too much away. Take a short break here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Rachel Barnhart's going to join me. We're going to hear from Don Jeffries from Visit Rochester about the benefits of movies like Amazing Spider-Man 2 being filmed in Rochester. Is it something we should root for more of? That's our next subject on Connections on member-supported public radio. Thursday on the next Connections, we look at how gun owners have gotten around the SAFE Act. They say it's evidence that the SAFE Act is not making us safer because the law is easily circumvented. We'll see how they're reconfiguring weapons, turning an assault rifle into a compliant firearm under the law. And we'll sit down with filmmaker Robin Lehman, whose Oscar-winning documentary is headed back to the Little Theater. That's coming up Thursday on Connections.
Telemedicine brings together distant patients and doctors. One resistant specialty, psychiatry.
There is a sense that of all the specialties, psychiatry is the one where reach out and touch a patient would make the most sense.
But where psychiatrists are few and far between, telepsychiatry is getting a test run. Today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. If you are in the city of Rochester, interesting, last time Jack Garner was on this program, someone said, I've always read him. I've never heard his voice. It's so interesting to hear what he sounds like. He has a great radio broadcaster voice. You do, Jack.
Thank you very much.
And now, if you're in the city of Rochester and you have Time Warner Cable on City 12, you can see Jack and Mike DiGiorgio and Rachel Barnhart, an anchor and reporter for WROC-TV, is in studio. Nice to see you, Rachel.
Nice to see all of you.
Aren't you so glad we're moving beyond the discussion of specific characters
in
Spider-Man?
I haven't seen the movie, but I was highly entertained by the critique. So.
You're here because you've reported extensively on the issue of tax credits, how these decisions get made, how a studio chooses Rochester versus another municipality. I know you've looked at this one in depth.
Yes, and so I've looked at the film tax credits in New York State. I also spent a considerable amount of time downtown when Spider-Man was shooting here. I live downtown. I go to the downtown Y. I do a lot of walking downtown. So I really got a feel for what was going on in the city when this was happening. New York State has been aggressively seeking television and movie productions. In fact, New York has budgeted $420 million in tax credits to go to these productions to lure them to New York State. California is really feeling the pain right now because we are attracting many of these productions. And there are films that can take 30 to 40%, depending on where they film in New York State. Upstate, they can take more of a tax credit on many of their production costs. And it means that the state's essentially cutting them a check for this money. And in some cases, films have no tax liability at all. Now, some states have scaled back their film tax credit programs because they found that the jobs are really only temporary and they're not really seeing a return on the investment. So while we did have spending on hotel rooms in Rochester, I think there was something like 3,000 nights that The Amazing Spider-Man 2 brought here, and we had some local restaurants were able to cater for them. It really is worth pointing out that taxpayers of New York State heavily subsidized this operation. The other thing we should point out is that there were losers during this production. There were people who actually lost money. There were Main Street businesses that were completely empty because their clientele are bus riders or because the street was shut off and people couldn't reach them. And they lost a significant amount of money for which they were not reimbursed.
All right, well, let's listen if we could. Earlier today, I had a chance to talk to Don Jeffries from Visit Rochester. Now, Don could not get in here in studio live for this hour, but he was happy to share his thoughts on why they do want to see more. And contrary to what Rachel says, Don thinks that the net positive is clear and is something that they want to see more of in Rochester. So let's listen to that part of the conversation. Don, you feel there's no doubt in your mind that Spider-Man 2 coming here to film some scenes was a benefit for the region and for Rochester.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the things, Evan, that aren't seen are what, you know, the 2,600 hotel room nights and all the crew. You know, we had 330 people come from out of town to help film this, as well as the 250 local crew. But the cool things that happened, when they bring these people in, they put them on a per diem. So, you know, I had one restaurant that I know of that said their 26 Teamsters went out there three different times for dinner. But the other thing that was pretty cool was the community pride. You know, I went and I watched a part of the filming, and there was a woman who was standing next to me and said, you know, I haven't been downtown in probably 10 years. This is really cool. So besides the economics, the community pride, and just a fun event, you know, and my hat's off to the mayor, the former mayor, and the county executive for making it happen, because, you know, a lot of times communities will say, we can't do this, we can't do this. And everybody kind of said, hey, let's see if we can do this. So besides the economics, which were fantastic, and the downtown hotel room nights, the community pride was something that was pretty cool.
Interesting now to see a film like Draft Day, which is in theaters now, starring Kevin Costner. It was, by all accounts, originally going to be largely based in Buffalo, about the Bills franchise, and Cleveland essentially outbid Buffalo to get that film project there. So the film became about the Cleveland Browns, many scenes shot in Cleveland. Everything I've read indicates that Cleveland offered a package that was about $3 million better or cheaper for the film companies there, and it's very competitive. How competitive is it, and what do you see in terms of bringing future projects to Rochester?
Yeah, it's very competitive. You know, the state does tax breaks and things like that, but it's a very, very competitive business. But the good news for Rochester is, just like our meeting and convention business, Evan, it's very affordable. You know, for somebody to shoot in L.A. or New York is really expensive. To come here, it's literally half price. And so we're constantly talking to films, and we do a lot in the film business anyways, but it's usually smaller films. It's not the big ones like Spider-Man. But now that Spider-Man has been here, we're on the radar to look at this. So, yes, it's very competitive as far as hotel rates and what can you do for me. And, you know, the governor's office has been very, very active in this because they see the economic benefits of a thing like Spider-Man. So, yes, we are in the process of talking to several films, and that's what our film office from Visit Rochester does, is they go out and pitch ones, not just the documentaries, which we do quite a bit, but even things like shooting commercials, doing things. It's so less expensive to be in Rochester than it is in New York or L.A.
Well, this is your chance to break some news then. Next big film coming to Rochester?
We don't know yet. We're in the process of talking. And Evan, when it happens, you'll be my first phone call.
Now, give me a sense for how much discussion there is about A cost-benefit analysis. I mean, certainly the Clevelands of the world, Buffalo wanted draft day, Rochester had Spider-Man. You know, you talk about the benefits. Is there a point of diminishing returns at some point when it comes to the breaks that you hand out to get these films here?
You know, from the tax angle, I leave that up to the governor's office. From a visit Rochester, it's all win-win-win. I mean, these are visitors that come in and spend new money. You know, and we often talk about the new money. In other words, when people come in from other communities and spend money inside Rochester, it's bringing money from other communities. So for us, from a Visit Rochester standpoint, it's an absolute win. You know, the hotel rooms, the restaurants. And the other thing about the film business is that, like when they closed down Main Street, they were very good about going to different businesses. The parking lot guys, they go to the parking lot and say, well, all right, you're closed. How many spaces do you have? How many do you sell? What did you lose? And they wrote them a check. So, you know, from that standpoint, it's a much better deal for a movie than, let's say, if you brought in some kind of other main event where you had to give up a lot of things. Here, you know, it's certainly the state doing the tax thing, which I fully don't understand, but our film office works on that. But from a visitor standpoint, you know, the 26 Teamsters that went out to the restaurant and all had steak dinners that night, that's newfound business.
Finally, Don, when it comes to some of that, all of the things that go into putting a production together in a city, you mentioned that, yeah, it's half price to go to cities like Rochester or maybe Cleveland or other places instead of shooting in Hollywood or Los Angeles. At the same time, they're in Hollywood for a reason. They've got sound stages and all kinds of different infrastructure in place. What does Rochester need if you want to bring more? Does this city have enough to offer Hollywood to see them here routinely?
You know, we really do. You know, our crew members and individuals that work on it, Visit Rochester has workshops on how to do this, and we have a pool of trained and experienced crew members here right in our region. You know, film is pretty big here, you know, and you know, George Eastman and the whole thing about film, so we're in a better position than Buffalo, Syracuse, any other upstate city to do this because of the trained, the sound people we have, the trained crews that we have already in Rochester. And that's one of the things that Spider-Man really liked when they came and saw and said, wow, you guys are pretty much set for this. We'll have to bring in X, and the economics made sense. They said, we see what Rochester has, we see what you can do, and now we can bring in the rest of it. And it still makes great economic sense. So, yeah, we're poised to do more.
Did you want to offer your review on the film? Have you had a chance to see it?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, you know.
What are you going to say?
Right, yeah. What am I supposed to say? No, it was great. It was terrific. It was fun. It was action-packed, and, you know, especially when you see the scenes. And you know, having watched him make it and then see it, it's amazing. And the other thing that's amazing is how much money is involved with these films.
That's Don Jeffries from Visit Rochester, not only defending the practice of bringing a film like Amazing Spider-Man 2 to film some scenes here for about a week last year, but saying they're hoping to do more. And before we get Rachel's take on that, let's get right back to the phones because Linda's got a question or some comments about tax breaks. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi, everybody. Just a quick question or comment, I guess. You know, it seems like there's a lot of negative. There was, and you know, not just on Rachel's part. There were numerous people that felt this was possibly not a positive thing for our community, maybe even a negative thing for our community because of the tax rates involved and possible loss of business, as Rachel outlined. But I guess I'm a question, like, why the so much negative focus on this one thing where we offer tax breaks? Like, look at, you know, we have a whole agency in the county of Monroe, you know, the Comita, which offers tax breaks to everybody pretty much who wants to do business in Monroe County. And if we didn't offer that, let's be honest, probably not a lot of people would start businesses in Monroe County. So I guess I'm just trying to compare the two and understand why so much focus on the negative aspects of this one thing versus all the other, you know, business-inducing tax breaks that both Monroe County and New York State offer.
What do you think, Rachel?
Well, I think we can all agree that the Amazing Spider-Man film shoot in Rochester was cool, and I think we can all agree that it was cool to see Rochester in the movie. But and I do think that we have focused on business subsidies quite a bit in Rochester and for quite a number of businesses, and I think Comita in particular has gotten a lot of attention. But you know, the facts are that film tax credits are seen as much more generous than other subsidies. You know, the Tax Foundation found that we get back less than 30 cents of every dollar of spending. Massachusetts found that its film tax credit program cost more money than it brought in and created very few jobs. Governor Cuomo's own tax commission published something saying that these film tax credits need to be looked at. And in fact, what they wrote was not included in the group's final report. The governor didn't want it in there. But I just want to read a little bit of something from that, what his own tax commission had to say. It says, under current law, film production and post-production credits are the state's second most expensive credit and will cost approximately $420 million a year through 2019. To understand the significance of a credit equal to 30% of a film production's operating costs, consider the impact of a similar credit would have on other industries. Based on Internal Revenue Service data and analysis from the Department of Taxation and Finance, if a credit of the magnitude of the film credits were provided to taxpayers in other industries, it would eliminate tax liability for companies in most industries many times over. It is a misnomer to call film credits refundable. Payment will be made to the qualifying business, even if it never paid any taxes and never will. The credit is essentially a spending program. And finally, there are other problems with the credits. For example, many of the jobs involved are temporary, and the state can only maintain those jobs and this level of activity in the industry if it continues to offer the credits. Retaining the jobs could become more of a challenge if other states were to increase their credits. So it's really just a race to the bottom here in terms of spending and trying to get these films to come here. And other states have dropped out of the race because they're just not seeing the return on the investment.
Linda, you want to follow up there?
Well, again, I'd love to see that same, I'd love to put the Comita numbers side by side because, you know, we've all, you know, I guess, you know, again, there's so many tax subsidies that we're providing to anybody who lifts a hand in Monroe County. And you know, there is something, and I know it's, you know, I can sense, you know, when you say cool, that that's a terrible thing, but it does bring people downtown. I think there's long-term benefits to that that maybe aren't, you know, you can't put pen to paper on it immediately, and maybe it is egregious because you've done more research clearly than I have. But I just would love to see the same due diligence done across the board then, rather than single out one neat thing that maybe some, you know, the entire community can enjoy rather than one business owner. And that's all. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Linda. I appreciate that. You know, to her point about hard to measure, Rachel, everybody wants good numbers and good data. And when you talk about these studies in terms of return on investment, is it possible that there are certain things that we're missing?
Well, New York State, as part of their re-upping on these tax credits, they are going to do a cost-benefit analysis. Another good thing that New York State is about to do is they're going to actually reveal who got what. These tax credits have been secret for years now. They have not been, they have not revealed how much money goes to a particular production because they've considered it proprietary information. But state lawmakers are now forcing them to reveal this. We don't yet know how much money will go to Amazing Spider-Man 2, although Business Insider estimated about $45 million they'll be subsidized. That would cover the wages for the entire movie. I think it's a question of, and you know what? Some people don't have no problem with that. And that's fine. And some people have absolutely no problem with the government supporting this movie, but I do think it needs to be part of the conversation, and we just need to know it's out there. And we can't know it's out there if we don't talk about it and report it.
The governor's office, and this is from an article from more than a year ago, the governor's film office has said the information about how much money goes to different productions was an industry trade secret, and that could damage the company's ability to market movies to investors or advertisers, and while newspapers were argued that the information is not a secret in the eyes of the state's public record laws.
Yeah, it's my understanding that when the state legislature re-upped these tax credits very recently, that information will now be included. We don't yet know how much money went to Amazing Spider-Man 2 because they haven't filed their claims yet. So it might be some time before we know that, but we are seeing some estimates that it could be in the range of $45 million. And, you know, there's a point to be made about, you know, all these people came downtown. There were a lot of people downtown. It was very hard for me to measure during that week how many wouldn't have been there anyway. There were a lot of workers watching the production. There were a lot of students, you know, who take the bus. And I'm sure there were a decent number of families. But this was only a 10-day event. And the primary benefit of this production in Rochester, the primary people who benefited were the hotels. actually one hotel, the Radisson. That's where the crew stayed, at the Radisson. And there were a couple restaurants. The spending was not widespread in Rochester, and it was not widespread in downtown Rochester. And as we pointed out, there were businesses who were hurt. I know Don Jeffrey said they worked with some businesses. They didn't work with all the businesses. And in fact, they offered a $1,000 check to some businesses that complained, and that was it. And they claimed that their losses exceeded that.
Don was saying that they tried to remunerate. They tried to address those issues and say, if you're hurt, we're going to step in and help you.
That is absolutely not the story that I heard from about five different business owners. It's just not. They were eventually able to get in touch with the production, but they were only offered a $1,000 check. And you have to remember, too, this took place the first 10 days of May, and many poor people get their government checks in the beginning of the month and shop, and they take the bus, and they shop right where they get off the bus. Those business owners count on the money they make the first week of the month, and they took a huge hit because of that movie. It should also be pointed out, too, that the bus riders were very inconvenienced. This isn't a monetary issue, but they were very inconvenienced. The buses were routed off of Main Street. People had to wait for the buses on Broad Street. There was no shelter from the rain, no shelter from the sun. You had to cross the street to get a transfer. There were no crosswalks. It was a very dangerous situation, and so it wasn't convenient. On the bright side, the city said that it learned a great deal from this shoot, and I can't imagine that Main Street would ever be shut down again for something like this.
If you want to join the conversation, a few more minutes on the subject of Amazing Spider-Man 2. 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. That's toll-free, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. The story of the movie Draft Day is an interesting one, an interesting case here, Rachel, because in Cleveland had the Avengers, Captain America 2, I think, shot a good amount there, Draft Day. But Draft Day was going to be a movie about the Buffalo Bills, and Cleveland essentially outbid or created a better film package there, and the movie became about the Cleveland Browns. And so Kevin Costner is the GM of the Browns and not the Bills in the movie. And I wonder if you look at that and say, hey, yes, New York State has said they want more of Hollywood in their cities shooting movies, but they're not going to go crazy here, that there are limits here. Obviously, Buffalo could have tried to do more, or the state could have tried to do more, but they kind of drew a line there, didn't they?
Well, I'm not sure if there was a lot of back-and-forth negotiations. It seemed to me like Ohio kind of just stole it out from under Buffalo there. There's one thing that you can't measure for economic impact, and that's the psychological impact of a, you know, maybe your team or your city being showcased.
Yeah.
I think as Jack and Mike noted, unless you're from Rochester, you don't know that Spider-Man 2 was filmed in Rochester, and that's something that bothers me because if, you know, for us to take a lot of pride in that, you'd have to have the whole world knowing that that's Rochester, New York.
Why? Something you like don't the, need the whole world
well,
to know
but something
it,
like
you?
The Cleveland Browns, now that's something that for a city to be showcased like that in a movie and a team, that could have impact beyond.
Rachel, I am a Cleveland Browns fan. I don't want to be showcased as the perennial loser. I'd rather be in the shadows like Rochester.
But that's clearly showcasing a city and showcasing a team.
Jack, I don't want to jump in.
Yeah, The Natural was shot in Buffalo, but you never knew it was Buffalo. I mean, only if you really knew Buffalo. I mean, it was not meant to be Buffalo. It was meant to be someplace in New York, I think.
And I wonder if they ever fixed that stadium after he ruined those lights at the end of it.
Oh, I know. Hitting that homer, I know.
That was somewhat out of line. We do have a couple more calls to get to here, and poor John behind the line is just sunk there. But I'm going to try to grab a couple more quick calls here. Great interest this hour. If you're just joining us, we're talking about The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Rachel Barnhart, an anchor reporter from WROC-TV, in studio with us. We heard from Don Jeffries from Visit Rochester. Mike DiGiorgio and Jack Garner, film critics, are here. And we are going to get back to the phone lines. Let's get to line one. Line two, John. Who's line two? I apologize. I can't hear John in my ear, and I've got... Oh, there's Ryan. Ryan and Webster, is that you?
Yes, it is.
There you are. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Ryan.
I just wanted to say that, you know, as difficult it was to hear about some of the businesses downtown that got hurt by it, I wonder about the data of the being on a world stage in a movie like Spider-Man 2 that's going to be all over the world. And who's to say somebody in another part of the country or another part of the world would focus back on Rochester and somehow be attracted here for whatever reason? Not to mention our many, many universities and all the things that Rochester has to offer.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ryan. Quick thoughts, Rachel?
Well, as we just said, it's not clear that Rochester was the city in the movie, so you'd have to know that it was filmed in Rochester. So the film office would like us to think that maybe we could attract other film productions here, create a critical mass, and maybe create some permanent jobs. I haven't seen a lot of articles saying that that's been happening in other states that are trying this. In fact, some states are pulling back on these programs because they're not seeing that kind of return. But of course, it would be nice if we were able to create some kind of critical mass of industry here that created permanent jobs.
It was more
jobs.
Permanent, yeah, as you said here. Matthew, go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, hi. As far as I know, this is the fifth Spider-Man movie that they've made, and why are they calling it number two?
Mike DiGiorgio is the Spider-Man critic in the room. What do you think, Mike?
It's the second in the Amazing Spider-Man series.
Do you find that silly, Mike?
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, they rebooted the movie, the franchise, for no reason.
Because they did for a reason. There's tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have.
Okay. Does that address the question, Matthew?
Pretty much, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So that's why, Mike DiGiorgio pointing out, they didn't have to start over from scratch, which is what they did. Closing thoughts here. Jack?
I just don't know. I thought I'd throw this out. Does anybody else know that we almost had another superhero movie here about 10, 15 years ago? One of the Supermen. What was the Cavern of Ice or whatever? The one that Schwarzenegger was in.
Oh, yikes.
Oh no, Mr. Batman and Robin?
Is that what it was?
Even I know. That's Batman. The worst. That was the only truly terrible Batman.
Yes, there was talk of using the Upper Falls because it's like a canyon.
That movie was so bad that no movie would have ever come back here.
Well, I'm glad we didn't. Use it, but there was talk at that time of them shooting that there. So we almost got that. But thank God we didn't. But anyway.
And Rachel, quick thoughts about the future now. I know you're going to keep asking questions about the return on investment.
Sure. We've filed Freedom of Information requests with the state for what they're going to pay Spider-Man 2. I just think that it needs to be part of the conversation that the next time a movie comes here and inconveniences us, or whether you think it's super cool, we should know that we are paying for it.
And Mike DiGiorgio, closing thoughts about the Spider-Man franchise. There's going to be at least one more of these things.
There will be one more. I was excited at the way this movie ended. They teased some stuff for a third movie that could be cool for a comic book geek like me.
Okay, well, we'll see if they redeem it with the next one.
I hope they
whether
can.
It's got scenes in Rochester or not. Mike DiGiorgio, thank you.
I liked Amazing Spider-Man 1, so I hope three can, maybe every other movie will be good.
Thank you, Mike. Jack Garner?
Yeah, my pleasure.
Great to see you. Rachel, nice to see you. Thank you very much. Our listeners, come see me Friday, 5:30 to 7:30 at Ravine's Wine Cellar's Geneva location. It's our celebration of our launch, our simulcast on Finger Lakes Public Radio, WEOS. So 5:30 to 7:30, wine, food, conversation. We can even talk Spider-Man if you like. I'm Evan Dawson, John Anders behind the glass. Thank you to John. We'll see you right back here Thursday on Connections.